If you learn the packet well, by this point in time, you should be thoroughly confused. You should be thoroughly confused, hopefully. We have a new definition of a sadomasochist. The A, I wanted you all to join in my frustration in this sugya. And B, why in the world did I undertake such a sugya for myself? So that's the new definition that we have over here. Hopefully by now you've realized that the sugya is not as well understood as you just assume. Yeah, Marasayan, yeah, you know, very clearly Marasayan. What's the Marasayan? What's not Marasayan? It's definitely a challenging sugya. Normally what we do is we try and go through the packet inside, follow through the basic points. I'm going to maybe do it a little bit differently. I want to share with you some tshuvas for Moshe on the topic, which eventually will make themselves way into the post-shear packet. So we start with this pasuk of Yisim Nekiyim Mishrem and Yisrael. Now the pasuk, if you look at the pasuk is not referring to the thing of chashad at all, of how people are perceiving you. It's a question of the Bnei God and Bnei Reuben have undertaken a responsibility to Klal Yisrael. And Moshe says that if you're going to do this and you keep all your responsibilities, you'll then be felt clean, you've naki, you've been careful about your responsibilities. May Hashem and May Yisrael. But if you don't do that, so you're not nekiyim, because there's a tain on you, there's a valid tain on you. This is not chashad at all. This is nothing at all to deal with the issue of a concern of misunderstanding, some appearance of impropriety. This is actual impropriety. That they didn't fulfill their obligation, their commitment to Klal Yisrael. So the Pshuto Shel Mikra of the Pasuk is not talking about this halacha at all. Comes along the Mishnah in Masechta Shkolim. So the Kohen is going into this room where they put all of the Shkolim, and he's going to do Chumas, what's called Chumas Alishcha, to take out the money in these containers to be able to use for the purpose of buying the Karbonis. So he can't go in wearing any type of garment which would be a place where he could possibly place money in. Now the Mishnah does not seem to be bothered by that per se. It doesn't say that itself is intrinsically a problem of chashad. It says, because we're afraid Shema Yeyoni, and people will say it's because of the Vera that he stole from the Lishka, or Shema Yasher, and people will say it's because of he got money from the Tumas Lishka. So the concern of the Mishnah only arises because there might be something in the future which will reflect back and say there must have been something done improper. The Mishnah didn't say simply, you know, you see a Kohen walking in wearing his tefillin, you say, ha-ha, I know he's the one with the tefillin, why is there, they wore tefillin the whole day, right? So why is he wearing tefillin? He's supposed to wear tefillin. Why is he wearing sandalim? Because he's wearing sandalim. The reason why he's doing it is because he wants to hide the money. We don't think Klal Yisrael is that low lives that they're going to come up with this type of perception of him at that point. But they see some impact down the road, which is extraordinary. All of a sudden he became poor, all of a sudden he became rich. So that's already a concern. Because a person needs lots of Sidei Abriyas, and it brings two psukim, it brings the pasuk of Yisim Nekiyim Hashem Yisrael, and Motzei Chayin Masechet Tabei Lekim Yodam. Now the second pasuk is a pasuk of Mishlei. We can't trade halachic requirements based upon something which is in Navi, or Ksuvim. So the source has to be the first pasuk. So what do you need two psukim for? We have a general rule, the Morris says in a similar situation, Yehuda Boy the Kroah, we already have a pasuk, you need anything more than that? Why do we need a second? We already have a pasuk in Chumash. So one suggestion is that this Yerusha Vizim Lekim Hashem Yisrael is not true to Shomikra. Once I have this Pasuk in Mishlei, which indicates that there is a requirement upon a person to be Motzachein Vesechotai Beinu Lekim V'Yodam, I say, okay, I have a right to go backwards and say that maybe that's Pshat in the Pasuk also. That's a remnant that the Pasuk has been Ramas to, and maybe that's the Pshat. Tos Yomta says, suggests a different Tateretzi says that this is. I might have understood the pasuk in the Torah as an Eitz HaTayva. Eitz HaTayva, you know what? I'm suggesting to you that you should do such a thing. That's halachically binding. I don't know that. So I have a pasuk in Mishlei which tells me that this is not a language of where you will be, but you have a chiv to find chayin. So it's giving you in the language of the present language. You must do so, as opposed to v'yisim, you will be naki. It's said in the past, if you do this, you'll be things will work out great. So that's not, maybe that's the pshat. Okay, but we have this halacha, which is presented over here in the context of the Mishnah, that there's a chiyuv of to be concerned about how people perceive you. We have a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos brings up this, seemingly the same issue. And the Gemara says, how do we know that we're worried about Chashad? Who said you're worried about Chashad? And Hechatesi, that there's such a thing. So the Gemara goes to this long source from Peah. The Torah requires that Peah should be left at the end of the field. It shouldn't be done earlier. Why the Torah require that Peah should be left at the end of the field? Why can't you do it earlier? Because we have multiple reasons why we're worried about that. And one of them is this issue of Chashad. Mm-hmm. So the obvious question in the Gemara is, what happened to the Mishnah and Shkolim? Why don't we bring the Mishnah and Shkolim? Why are we, you know, looking for? The Gemara says, and the Gemara's question is, how do I know to say that you're concerned about Chashad? I mean, how do you know? It's a Mishnah and Shkolim. And the more doesn't bring the Mishnah and Shkolim, the more brings a Braisa, which is Omer Reb Shimon. And maybe the Chama argue on that Braisa, I don't know. Especially we know that Reb Shimon who's the person who's Darish Time at the Krah. So Reb Shimon, who's the one who's Darish Time at the Krah, means Reb Shimon is willing to come along and say, I'm willing to assume a reason behind why the Torah said a mitzvah. The Chama in general, we have a rule that the Chama are not Darish Time at the Krah. The Torah said a reason because it said it. Why do you have to pay in the end of the field? Because the Torah said so. I know the reason is because of Chashad. Do I have a right to extrapolate from here that must be the problem is Chashad? And from now on, I'm going to assume it's always a problem of Chashad. Do I have a right to extrapolate that? I don't have a right, according to the Chama, to extrapolate that. So using a Braisa, which is Reb Shimon, makes things very, very comfortable when you have a choice from a Mishnah, which is according to everybody. It's not attributed to any individual. This is assumed to be a universal approach based on a Braisa, which is just Reb Shimon. So there's something very clear in the Gemara. The Gemara is clearly not comfortable with relying on the Mishnah in Shkolim. Tosfos Rosh suggests that the reason why the Gemara did not... what the Gemara is looking for over here is, he doesn't ask for the Mishnah Shkolim. He asks, we have multiple places in Mishnah Shas, but the Gemara talks about Chashad. The Gemara never asks, how do you know there's a problem with Chashad? Why are we asking this question over here? It says, most of the cases of Chashad in the Gemara deal with financial issues. That there's a Chashad when it comes to finances, we know that. Yeah, we know that. That's a concern but the Gemara is saying over here, you're being mechadish, this idea of Chashad in the context of mitzvahs. I mean, many mitzvahs are difficult. Mitzvahs have details. I don't walk around saying, well, you know, it must be he didn't do this, he did do this. Why are we worried about this concern of Chashad? A chotzer has two openings and two different sides of the street, and the person's going to walk by one, not by the other. He's going to assume I didn't do it. I mean, like, I go to the 7:30 minyan, and you go to the 8:30 minyan. I haven't seen you by minyan in months. I must assume you don't go to any minyan. Maybe you go to the other minyan. We should require a person to show up to all of the minyanim, just in case, with Chashad. You know, they should come to the first one and stay. Because otherwise, how does everybody know that I'm keep going to minyan? Like, first of all, why is it your business whether I'm going to minyan or not? Right? And why wouldn't we assume that that's what the person is doing? So the Gemara says, who said there's a problem with Chashad over here? So that's a good question. The Gemara says, well, we find that the Torah tells me to put Peah. Now, he could very easily leave Peah. Right now we're saying theoretically, the halacha should be that Peah would be kosher in the middle of the field. Right? So the halacha is you can put Peah at Ben Sassar if you want to. We're saying don't, even if so, it wouldn't work. Because if that would be true, when you get to the end of the field and there's no Peah, people say, aha, he didn't do Peah. Why would we say that? Again, the more so, I don't know why the Torah said, don't put Peah at Ben Sassar. Put Peah at the Ben Sassar. Morris says it wouldn't work. It would be a bad idea. The Torah says it's a bad idea. Why is it a bad idea? Because people, when I would do that, so I'm a good boy. I did exactly what I was supposed to do. I gave Peah b'Emes HaSoda. As a matter of fact, I can call me a tzaddik. I was nice. I gave it to the Neim right away. And how much did Peah? You have to do something before you do Peah. You have to cut some. I cut one row. I have 50 rows. I cut one row. I gave Peah the next two rows. And then I finished the rest of the field myself. I'm a grace tzaddik. No, there's a chashad. Because people get to the end of the field and say, ha ha, he didn't do Peah. Why would they say that? If the halacha is you have to do b'Emes HaSoda, I understand the chashad. You didn't do b'Emes HaSoda. But the halacha, you can do b'Emes HaSoda, so why would there be chashad over here? And still we say there's a chashad. So what we say, yes, since most people, at the end of the day, either because we're lazy or because we like to hold on to our money, whatever the reason is, most people, even if the halacha is you can do b'Emes HaSoda, you're going to do b'Emes HaSoda, that's probably what's going to happen. Normally. Even though it's not required at all. And it's still we're kosher for chasha. That's what the Morris Bin Machadish to me over here. That even though in Sawara this is not such a real major concern, it's not like the Shema Ya'ani of the Mishnah, Shema Ya'ashir. Right? It's like why we it's still the Shimon is telling me the Rechoshet with this Chashad. Zotting Amora, aha. So that's already the level of concern that Torah has about Chashad. We would seem to say that we're gonna apply it to our case of my two Chatzeris as well. Okay, so now just if we stop right now, we don't know anything more. Apparently we are Chashad for the concept of Chashad is even if it's very improbable that's what's happening, we still have a chiyuv because of a chashad. That's pretty much what we're walking on this Gemara, because that's the point we're saying in this Gemara. Luckily, you're allowed to leave it earlier. It's very possible the person did leave it earlier, because why should we assume they didn't leave it earlier? And still, we're saying that would be the halacha, and the person will wait till that, and would do that, when we get to the end of the field, people will have a chashad about him that he didn't give it. How many people? I don't know. Lav dafka many people. Probably not many people. And here we are. We're worried about chashad. So l'chara, this chashad which we're dealing with seems to be not a very high percentage of concern that we're worried about. People thinking there's an impropriety, and that's enough to be mekayev of this halacha that you have to do it a certain way. Okay, that's if you continue through the packet, you're not so convinced that that's the percentages that we're supposed to be dealing with. But that's what we should walk away with at this point in time. Okay. The next Gemara. The more it talks about this concern, a person's walking to on a road which leads to a city, and if the derech is miyuchedes lo samakum is also, if this road only leads to the city, and this city right now is having their celebration of their avodah zarah, right? So that's where you see me going on that day. You see me walking on the path, which only ends by a church, on December 24th at 11 o'clock at night. All right, that'd be a chashad. But this road only goes one place. Everybody's going there to do their avodah zarah. What am I doing going down that road? Okay. But it's possible to go somewhere else. It's mutter. So as long as it's possible, that's good enough. So it sounds like as long as it's possible, it's good enough. Which means, even though the majority of the concern is that people are going down this road, they're going down this road for the purpose of going for avodah zarah. But as long as there's a possibility that I'm going out for avodah zarah, everything is fine. Okay, and Rashi says, well, the concern over here is because of chashad. What's interesting is that I pointed out to you on the sidebar is to look at the next page, which we have this new problem, which Rashi introduces. Now, is this new problem what we're supposed to call Maris Ayin, and we'll call the other thing Chashad? That's not fair for us to say that yet. Right, but there is definitely a second problem which we're introducing. So far, the problem which we've been dealing with is, but Tzarek Lotzes Yidei Abriyas. People should not misjudge you. You have a responsibility to make sure people do not misjudge you. So you cannot do things which will raise questions in people's minds of what you're doing, and then possibly misjudge you. You have a responsibility not to do that. Okay, so I have to worry about the Kayan walking into the Trumas Alishka. I have to worry about the person with his lighting his Neres Chanukah in multiple places. I have to worry about Peya. I have to worry about the people who think I'm doing a Avodah Zarah. I have a Gemara over here where the Morse says, Dam Dogim Shekinsu. So he takes blood of a fish. So he eats a fish. Dam Dogim is not Osir at all. The Torah did not prohibit it. And even if you eat the fish without removing the blood, it's mutter, 100% mutter. You can cook it with the blood. You can eat it with the blood. It's not a problem. It's not dam, and it's not osur. It's not halachically considered the isur of dam. But if I take it and I put it out of the fish into a cup, and all I see is just blood over there, it's just mutter to drink the really? It should be mutter to drink the blood? No, it's osur. Why is it osur? Because people think you're drinking blood. No, Rashi says, because people will assume you're allowed to drink blood, and they'll learn from you to drink blood. So all of a sudden, we have this whole new problem. The problem isn't because people will think I'm doing an Avera. People say, well, Rabbi Rang is not doing an Avera. Must be, it's Mutter. Right? Now, they can't come along and say, if they see me walking to that place where Avodah Zarah, must be Avodah Zarah is Mutter. That's probably not what Klaus is going to conclude. They're probably not going to conclude you're allowed to steal from the Trumas HaLishka. They say, well, You see Rabbi Rangel walking with tefillin, most of these people planning to put money in, and because what did it take from the Chumash Lishka? They're not going to assume that possibility. So they're the only problem is Cheshad. Okay, I get that. By the Avodah Zorah, the only problem is Cheshad. Right? So by the Ner Chanukah, what are they going to assume? That whoever's inside there didn't light Ner Chanukah, it's mutter not to light Ner Chanukah? Okay, I don't know, probably not, they're probably not going to assume that over there either. But why are they going to assume it's mutter to drink blood? I mean, you know, we know the law because you can't drink blood. So I mean, what's this level of this concern? They would say, no. The problem over here is not because people are going to be choshed you to drink blood. The concern is people are going to believe that must be, this nice rabbi is drinking this blood, must be allowed to drink blood. Okay, but that's what Rashi says. So we need to put some type of a framework on that. Then the Mora says that in a case where there's kaskasim, the fish scales are found in the blood, so that people realize it's blood from a fish, and they're not going to. Then it's mutter. Now, that we're worried about that people will draw a conclusion from fish blood to blood of an animal. Apparently, that we're not worried about. That they're smart enough to know. To know that blood is usher, and they see me drinking blood and saying must be that they're going to conclude that blood is mutter, that we're worried about. But see me drinking blood from fish and saying, well, if fish blood is mutter, maybe chicken blood is mutter. No, that they're not going to conclude. That we're not worried about. We solve the problem by putting kaskasim over there. I would have said that's probably more of a concern than the other way. Now that I see something which actually halakhically is mutter, so I don't know the rules. But before I assumed all blood is usher, right? So now we're saying, no, all blood is mutter. So maybe I should. I didn't know this is fish blood. Now I know it's fish blood. So I see Rabbi Rangel drinking fish blood. I say, okay, what would I conclude from there? Fish blood is mutter. Is anything else mutter? I don't know. I would be confused. But apparently that's not what we're worried about. But if this Gemara, but the second problem over here, which I think is a more basic question, which you have to figure out, if this Gemara is only dealing with this new concern, and we solve that concern by putting kaskasim over there, do we solve the concern of Cheshad by putting kaskasim? Now, let's change it. The modern-day version of this question is, the modern-day version, the Ramah dealt with this question, dealt with using almond milk. Together with the two cases which are dealt with over there in Halacha, one of the cases is almond milk using it to cook with chicken, or almond milk using it to cook with meat. Cooking milk and meat is deraisa. Cooking milk, chicken and milk is, let's assume, the rabbanon. That's machlokes, but let's assume it's the rabbanon. And now I haven't said deraisa, it's the rabbanon, and instead of using real milk, I'm using almond milk. So Ramah says when you're using real milk, real meat, not chicken, you have to put in almonds in the milk. So there should be almonds floating in the milk, and people say, oh, it's almond milk. Now, there's a difference between almonds. You know, what's the case over there? What are you doing over there? You grind almonds and you end up with this liquid which looks white. It looks like it's almond juice, and we call it almond milk. It's not really milk, right? And you're cooking with it, so you see some remnants of the almonds, and then you realize it came from the almonds. I strain my almond milk and I have this nice clear liquid, looks just like milk. Then I say, well, I got a problem. I throw some other almonds in there, like. Why does that work? Why does that work? The case of kaskasim is I'm squeezing out the blood, and as you squeeze out the blood, some of the scales fall into the blood, and I don't filter the blood. So I understand people realize that this is fish blood. Maybe it's chicken blood, and I put fish scales into it. Why do people assume that must? I now know for sure what it is. So in the case of the, apparently, because we're assuming that that's what we assume, right? But it's because this is the natural result of what's going to happen. How do you get fish blood? You squeeze out the fish and you end up with some scales and some blood, etc. I crush the almonds and I press them. And I have little pieces of almonds together with milk. I have parva creamer. I put into my coffee and I put the parva creamer container on the table. Oh, we solved our problem. I make a parva cheesecake and I put the cover which says tofu on the table. What does the cover do with my cheesecake? Right? What is the cream, this container? There's a container on my table, and then there's this little beautiful rat. Yeah, I go to the house and there's a container on the table, and there's this little creamer which has liquid in it. The creamer has liquid in it. It's not in the container still. Well, if I put it on the table, I solved my problem. No, you didn't. How you solve your problem? What's the comparison? Well, we do think the guy, if he has an option of using that, but if it's empty, the container's empty, so he hasn't an option anymore. So he used regular milk. I don't know. So how does this Gemara, which tells me kaskasim work, it tells me almonds milk works because you left almonds in it. There's a difference between leaving almonds in it because that's what you made, or you strain it and you have this nice clear liquid and then you add almonds afterwards. Maybe you added almonds afterwards in the regular milk. Maybe you put cashews in there for all I care. I don't know. How does it matter it? But within the sugya itself, we have this other problem. If the concern is people will draw conclusions, you know what? People are not going to draw conclusions. I see the container on the table, and I say, wow, there is this container of... there's an option to explain what he's doing, which doesn't confuse me. If you're not confused by now, right? So, probably, he used that parva stuff. So, I thought milk and meat is usur. And I see him using this thing which looks like milk, but I realize probably it's because of that. So I'm not going to make this strong conclusion. I'm not going to make any mistakes. If the problem is learning a mistaken idea, this would solve the problem. See, even if I don't, it's not the original scales. I strain my fish blood and I throw some scales in afterwards. But again, the message is clear enough to people. But if the problem is chashad, who said this solves the problem? The more Rashi doesn't learn this Gemara, the problem is chashad. The more Rashi learns this Gemara, the problem is this conclusion, you're allowed to drink blood. So the answer is no, you're not, because you see there's fish scales, must be it's fish blood, and fish blood is different, and everything is wonderful. What about chashad? No discussion in the Gemara about chashad, according to Rashi. Okay. So, our chashad and our assign two different things. So I gave you the on page 12, the Crazy Placy, who discusses the question of doing shkit on a ben pekua. If you sheft a female animal which is pregnant, and there's a child inside, so the shkit of the mother works for the child. It was a valid shkit on the mother, that shkit works for the child. A real mikra din this child, even if it's alive, if they were able to take it out live, and the animal will grow and walk and do everything like that, at the end of its life, you can knock it senseless, kill it, and eat it. You don't have to sheft it. Right, so that's the din. The people say, wow, look, I mean, they didn't eat this meat without shefting it. So there's a problem of the something. We'll get to the something in a second. So you have to sheft it. Chazal said you have to sheft it. Do you make a bracha when you sheft this animal? So the Rashba says you make a bracha. So the Rashi of Chuba Kasa Shesh Tavorach Al Kol Mitzvah Rabbanan. It's a Mitzvah Rabbanan. You have to make a bracha. Asher Kitzom Mitzvah Mitzivanu. Like any Rabbanan, you say Asher Kitzom Chanukah. It's the Rabbanan. Asher Kitzom Mitzvah Mitzivanu. Lahadim Neir Shal Chanukah. Mitzivanu to read the Megillah. Right? Mitzivanu Alat Yisadayim. The Rashi didn't say it. The Chacham said it. Yeah, you make a bracha on the Rabbanan. Comes to Pri Chodesh. The crazy place. He quotes the Pri Chodesh. It says, according to the Ran in the Sefer Shabbos, which deals with, do you make a bracha? When you have your near Chanukah and you have two openings, do you make a bracha on the second opening? He says, no, you don't make a bracha on Chashad. It's not Ikar Adin. So you don't make a bracha. So how the Ran argues on the Rashi. That's what the crazy place he says. The Pichadah says. So the crazy place he says back, you're confusing Chashad and Marasayan. That's all he says. It's like, you know, just like the Rapasha for him. There's Chashad, there's Marasayan, there's two different things. Everything is wonderful. So let's just talk it through a little bit. So a few things which he seems to be assuming. Chashad is halacha that you have a chiyuv as an individual not to do things that people are going to misinterpret. It's not specifically about this mitzvah of shechting this animal. It's not about lighting the neiris. It's not about taking the money. It's a responsibility on you as a person. So I come to my nearest Chanukah, and Morris says clearly the problem with there's Chashad. So Morris says clearly, I want to know, do you make a bracha Asher Kinsom and Sobatzivon Lahatik Ner Shal Chanukah on this second lighting? The answer is no, because it's not a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. This doesn't do with Chanukah, Batson. This is to do with you acting in a way that people will not misinterpret that you're doing something improper. So you can't say Asher Kinsom and Sobatzivon Lahatik Ner Shal Chanukah. It's not a din in Chanukah. You're not the point over here is you're not lighting a nair of Chanukah. You're lighting a nair called a nair to solve the problem of Chashad. So that's your responsibility. But you can't say Shekhar Samat Samat Sivanu on that. comes the crazy place. He says, but there are certain scenarios where Chazal or Masaka that you have to, you do make a bracha because Chazal or Masaka that you have to deal with this issue in a way where it's not confused. And this is part of your responsibility to deal with the mitzvah. To the Rabbanan. So there's a din of shkita. People see me, I have an animal which is a ben pakua, and I don't shecht it. People get very confused. You see this person's eating meat even though it wasn't shechted. Maybe you don't need always the shecht. Maybe there's some suggestions you don't have to shecht, etc. Now Chazal said, you know what? Shecht. We want you to shecht because this is what shkita, the halacha of shkita requires, that the shkita should be kept properly in all of the cases that it is relevant. We need you to shecht in the situation. People should not get confused. So it means Chazal or Masakin, like everything about Chazal or Masakin, in this issue, in instance, we have a concern. And we're going to address this concern by being mechayev of you to shecht. So you say, Allah shkita. But that's not chashad. It's not the crazy place. It's tudim adinim. Okay, that's, you know, it's the point is well taken, very well taken. But then the crazy place introduces to me, there's two different dinim over here. There's one din of Marasayan, which is, we're assuming it's a din in the we'll call it, the good yeshiva sheshbrach is called a din in the chefsa. This is a halacha, and this item requires shkita. As Sheikh Shabbat Sivan, the shkita makes sense, because it's a din, and this is instance specifically, because our Mekhaib to deal with it in a certain way. And then there's a general rule called chashad, which is not limited to this scenario over here. In this scenario, there might be chashad as well, but that's not what's going to give one to give you a bracha. That's what the Ran is saying. So moving backwards, we have to wonder about the Gemara over there in Trisus. Is there also chashad, besides this? We'll call this Marasayan issue, which is what the crazy place is calling it. And we're going to assume that when the Gemara says the problem is because of Chashad, the Moran Shabbos, the Gemara says very specifically the problem is Chashad. It's not Marasayan. People are not going to conclude, aha, if they see that there's no light of Neiris in this doorway, must be you're not supposed to light Neiris. They're not going to assume that. They're going to assume you're supposed to light Neiris. And this fellow, he didn't do his mitzvah. Okay. So there's no Marasayan issue over there. There's just Chashad. So we're going to get very specific in our language how we use these Lashonos. By Peya, the same thing. The Gemara says the problem of Peya is because of Chashad. It's very interesting. You'll see if you got to the back of the packet, so there's a piece there from Rosh Weiss, Shlita, Mechaz Asher, which he has this aura of the different Lashonos which we use. But he brings the Gemara and Shabbos uses the language of Chashad. Problem is, the Sifri, when the Sifri talks about this halacha of Peya, the Arba Devorim, why you need to leave Peya B'Sai V'Sada, one of them says it's because of Marasayan. It doesn't say the word Chashad, it says Marasayan. Okay, so if we're using these languages very, very specifically, there's Marasayan versus Chashad, we're going to get very confused when we get to this. The Gemara and Shabbos says the problem is Chashad, and the Sifri says the problem is Marasayan. So one conclusion is that really they're two sides of a coin. The way it's perceived is X, and therefore people will be chayshed, you did something wrong. So I don't have to say it's two different things. But right now we're saying, according to the crazy, it's two different things. It's two different didn't. And we have to be masber, why? So Ramosha just, Ramosha does point out the following, in the Gemara and Avodah Zorah, he says, there's no Marasayan over there in the sense that people are going to draw the wrong conclusion and learn from you, because people are not going to learn from you, Yolanda Avodah Zorah. The only issue over there is chashad. Okay. Now let's go back to page 11 and think this through. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about a person, his clothing became soaking wet, so we allow you to continue to wear your clothing even though they're wet, even though you're walking outside, etc. You're carrying the water, that's not a problem. When you get home, so the Mishnah says you need to dry your clothing, so you put your clothing up to dry. People say, he washed clothing on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says it's mutter as long as you don't do it publicly. Comes the more brings that Rav says, okay, so the Gemara is, the Mishnah doesn't say what the problem is. The Mishnah just says, you can do it privately and not publicly. Rashi says, she actually do, she keeps them, because they'll be chashed you that you washed it. So Rashi says the problem is chashad. The Gemara says, how does it fit with Rav? Rav said something is also because of Marasayan, it's also even Chadri Chador. Gemara says it's a machloikis. And Rav's passing like the other Tana. The Tana of our Mishnah holds that there's no problem of Marathayim, Bechadri Chadorim, and Rav holds it there, and Rav Shimon says that it's awesome. So here we have a Gemara which the Gemara clearly discusses this case of Marathayim, and Rashi calls it Chashad. Okay, let's hold that question for a second. So Rav Moshe says like this. Rav Moshe says, Chashad is a din d'oraisa. So that's a chiyuv which I have. It's a pasuk, which is more than that from Mishnah. It's a pasuk. You have a chiyuv to act in a way people will not think you're doing something improper. That's a halacha that applies anywhere where mistakes can be made. There were certain scenarios which Chazal came along and they addressed them and they said this is also because of Marasayim. Once Chazal make a tekana, so Rav says they made a tekana. We have a general rule when Chazal make a tekana, they make a tekana across the board. So they asked it, even Rav says, even Rechadri Chadorim, even when it's done privately, Chazal are going to answer it. Because this over here is not Chashad, it's Marasayim. Whereas the Tanakhama, the Brisa, says, no, they didn't do that. They only answered in the scenario where there's a potential Chashad. Publicly, there's a potential Chashad. I do it privately in my bathroom. Right? My kids know what happened. They see me, I hang up my coat in the bathroom, hang up in the coat to dry. Well, it must be because I washed the coat on Shabbos. They know what happened. They saw what happened. If I go out and hang out my clothes line in the back, people don't know why I did it. Okay. The sun comes out, it's a beautiful sun, etc. They don't know that I was caught in that cloudburst. They see my clothes hanging there, they're going to be worried that it's public. But private, there's no chashad in that situation. There's no, but Chazal answered Marasayin. So Marasayin, once Chazal answered it, they answered it, Batsam. Rashi adds two more steps to this. He says, Rashi, the is just telling you that Marasayin could be because people will learn from you a mistake, or because people will be chashad you. Both of those are valid reasons for Marasayin. Now, why do you need the Masakin because of a chashad? That he does not explain. If it's, you have the din d'oraisa of chashad, you don't need the second din. But he does not explain that. But he does say the following. So that's how he answers. He explains Rashi. It's because of Marasayin, and it's this din d'rabbanan of Marasayin. And the Rashi says chashad. He means that's what we're afraid people will think. But then he has a fascinating idea. We discussed this once in one of the shurim, that when Chazal make a tekana, there are two parts to every tekana d'rabbanan. There's the reason why Chazal made the tekana, and then there's the getter which Chazal used to make the tekana. So he spoke about this in regards to the sort of Amir La'akum. Mir La'akum, because I was worried about that Shabbos is going to become very weekday-like. You'll be busy running your factory, sitting in the factory, telling the guy do this, guy do that, etc. There's no Shabbos anymore. That's the reason. But Chazal will not ask for something unless they have some framework on a Torah level that they can use to do that. So there, the example, the framework was Shlichus. They get a din rabbanan as if the guy is your shliach. Some of the shlichus, he was like, you did it. It's like you're being mechalel Shabbos. So the framework they use was shlichus. So Rav Moshe says over here the same idea. He doesn't quote that example, but he says over here the same idea. He says they have to have a getter. They have to have some framework that they're going to make it also. The framework over here is, this is a isur kibus rabbanan. This is a case of Chazal answered it because it's kibus rabbanan. Hanging it up under these circumstances is like you did kibus. So Chazal answered it because they have a framework to answer it. If they have no framework to answer it, they can't answer it. Because a reason to answer something without putting it, came the derisa taken somewhere, it's like a derisa, they can't do. That's what Moshe says. So Moshe says, once that's true, they made it kibbutz rabbanon, so of course it's also Bechadri Chadorim. Now it's kibbutz rabbanon. And that's Pshat and Rav's did. We pass them like Rav. So every Marasayim in which Chazal were masaking, there's going to be another layer of discussion. We know why they did it. What did they do? When I know the motivation is not enough. I need to know what exactly was the comment that they made. They said this case is going to be usher be'etzem because of problem X. And once they made the tekana, it's a regular drabana. So therefore, the crazy place makes a lot of sense. Of course, you can make a bracha in that situation. They could have done it by Ner Chanukah because we're worried about this chashad, and therefore we're going to be masak and there's a chiyuv Ner Chanukah in this situation. They didn't. So there's no bracha in that situation. Then you will understand a little bit what's happening in the Pri Chodesh on the next page, on the page 13. Pri Chodesh says, well, how can you add to Kanas Rabbanan? Chazal said something is Aser, it's Aser. Chazal didn't say something is Aser, it's not Aser. You can't make new Tekanas. We don't have the power to do that. So he says, therefore he disagrees with all this chashash over here about the more never discussed is putting together milk with meat or with chicken, cooking it together, more never discusses it. Because al denaser, it's mutter. What do you mean it's mutter? What happened to chashash? That's tekana derabanan, which is a tekana which Chazal addressed certain scenarios and they made it osir be'etzim. Yes, that doesn't apply to the case of the milk. So if I'm cooking in my house and I'm a bachelor and there's nobody home, do I need to put almonds into the milk? The answer is no, because nobody's there. When does Chadash HaDorim apply? In a case where Chazal came along and they addressed it specifically, they said, this is a scenario which we feel is a problem. We're going to make it kibus. We're going to make it about pakua, chai, and shkita. We're going to make certain scenarios we addressed. Chazal addressed the state. Why they chose those cases, he does not tell us. And it's interesting to try and figure out why. I don't have a good answer. I don't have a bad answer. I don't have an answer, period. Trying to figure out all the cases doesn't make sense. But that we know, Chazal did give us certain scenarios which Chazal made us to cut, and that's why the Chadash HaDorim is also, that's the din of Marasayim. So, for example, I have this scenario, Halacha L'maisa, a person comes to me that they're teaching biology, and they want to dissect clams. Okay, so they have to go buy clams, because the supplier is not sending in clams for them. So they wanted to go to the store and buy clams. Now, it would be pretty not look so well. We'd have, Mrs. So-and-so with her shaitel on her head, etc., standing in the line, a giant buying clams, right? Not a very good idea, right? So would that be mutter? The answer is no. It's a problem of kashat. If she can find some market where there's no Jews around, and there's no Jews there at all, so Chazal never asked her buying clams. Because of Marasai. There's no Chazal spoke about it. So if they did, Chadash HaDorim is also. I don't care where you are in the world, you can go to the Hawaiian Islands and the island where all there is 5 Hawaiian people, and that's all there's a whole island, you can't buy clams. Chadash HaDorim is also. But Chazal never spoke about buying clams. So if you want to fly to Hawaii and buy those, you can do that. Right? There's no Chashad in that situation. That's what should come out of Kardur Moshe. So that's what I felt was correct, and I asked the place, can I agree with that? If she could find a a market in some area where we know that there are no Jews frequent and that there's no chance of a Jew walking into that store, he felt it would be mutter to do that. Because the problem is Chashad. Chashad is only people see it. Nobody saw it, so what's the problem? That's what should... what? Buying Amazon, that was yet. Okay, I don't think of those terms yet, right? Okay.
The $1 million question we all want to know. A nice, sweet Jewish businessman with a big yarmulke and a trade restaurant with all of his clients.
Okay. I'm not going there right now yet. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm getting there. So what we're going to see is, so this idea really is rooted in the Ben Paris on page 15. Rabbi Yosef Engel, who was the father of what's known in the yeshiva world as the Chakira. He got it before Reb Shimon, even. He was much earlier. You see the dates of his biography, right? A brilliant mind flying over. The mind was on the level of the Rogachar. That's, you look at the rest of Engel's Swarm, that's what we're talking about. So he introduces this idea that the Chazal made it, and when it's a case of Marasayan, because of that there was a concern of a mistake to understand what to do, because Allah in the case they made it also there's a fee of shkita batsin. And so he's dealing with the issue of shkita. So there's a loch of shkita that requires a loch of shkita. Even though Mikra didn't, there's no requirement for shkita. But Chashad is a din on the gavra, din on the person, din on the gavra, so that would not create an isser atzmi, an intrinsic isser on the item. Just as an aside, you do see from him that there's a concept of the Chachamim making an Isser which is intrinsic in the item. This is a discussion, and maybe one time we'll have an opportunity to discuss that in a shir. That's not so simple that Chazal have ability to put an intrinsic Isser on the item. Maybe they could only just, Chazal, you have a mitzvah to listen to what Chazal said, so they can make you do something. There's nothing to do with the item itself, but apparently he's assuming that that's not true. The Nesiva says Chazal cannot put an Isser on the item. The Shach is clearly mavur that they could, so he's going with the assumption that they could. Okay, now, let's go back a step. So on page 14, we have a Rosh. The Rosh says, deals with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Chazal asked wearing certain types of clothing. Excuse me. because it looks like Klayim, even though it wasn't Klayim at all. It looks like Klayim, so Chazal answered it. Comes along, the Rosh says, if the reality on the ground has changed, and now this new material is so well known, and people use it all the time, to the point people realize this is not Klayim, it's something else totally, then it's mutter to wear it. Now we have a general rule, once the Tekana is in place, even if the reason is no longer valid, the Tekana remains true. So how can the Rosh come along and say that now the situation has changed, therefore it's mutter? That's like any Tekana. Once Chazal made a tekana, the Chazal is, even though the reason is no longer valid, the tekana is still valid. So it would be very tempting to say that, according to what we're saying, it's very simple. That it's just, well, take that back to that sentence. According to what we're saying, we have an approach to answer it. There's a difference between Chashad and Marasayim. Marasayim was Chazal made a tekana. Chazal made a tekana, that's it. It's forever. Chashad is a Chashad. Chazal said over here, there's a case of Chashad. The Chashad is no longer valid, so it's not a problem. But then the confusion is even greater. So this is a case of a Mishnah. Why don't we assume this is Kanas Chazal? Why do we assume that's because of Chashat? We have a Gemara by Peah, it says Chashat. We have a Gemara by Chanukah, it says Chashat. Okay, it says Chashat. But over here it doesn't say one or the other. So why would we assume it's a Chashat? And if for nowadays it's no longer relevant, maybe we should assume it's Marasai, and it is relevant. So Moshe says a fascinating thing. He says in the Chubur, Moshe says that unless the Moshe says Marasai, the assumption of the problem is Chashat. That's it in the Raisa. There are certain scenarios where Chazal came along and made a tekana on top of that. We needed the Chazal to specify that. So then the Rosh, it makes a lot of sense. The Mishnah does not say Marasayan. I can't tell you if there's any Gemara, which I can't tell you if Bekiyas and Shas tell me. There's no Gemara which says that, but as far as I know, there's not. So the problem is Chashad. After Rosh, there's no Chashad anymore. We solved our problem. So that would work according to Marisha's approach to the issue. Okay. Last point, which really is a little bit of a separate point, is what are our numbers? We mentioned that we have a numbers issue, percentages. How common does the heter option have to be to allow us to remove Chashad or Marasai? Right. Now, to remove Chashad, there's no tekana, so as long as we can get the situation where the heter is fairly common, so there's no Chashad anymore. If the problem is Marasayan, we'd have to say the original tekana was limited to the scenario where it looked improper or close to being improper or whatever level we need. We can't change it afterwards, but we can say the original tekana had limitations. So it would be relevant both to Marasayan and to Chashad to know what are the numbers that we're dealing with. So this is a discussion in the Mishabura, based on a Gemara in the Avodah Zarah, which deals with the issue of having a goy work for you, having a goy work with your items on Shabbos. So the halacha is, if the goy is hired as your workers, he's working for you, and that's a problem of Mir Lakum. If the goy is working for himself in the sense that he's rented this out, he's really taken a partnership or taken responsibility. It's called a kablam, which is like a contractor. Really, it's his own work. And you're paying him for the job, not for this specific instance of doing something on Shabbos. So me reading that's mutter, but there's a problem of Marasayan. It's going to be misinterpreted that maybe they don't know what type of arrangement you had when you hired him. Was it a case of a steer yom, he's hired as a paid worker for the day, or was it that he's a partner? Is it that he was a contractor? We don't know what the arrangement was between the two people. Okay, so there's a problem with Marasayan. That's what the Mora says. So, what the Mora says, if, however, the arrangement of a rhesus, being a partner, is common enough, then there's no problem. You're allowed to let him continue to do his work, because people assume he's doing it because of a rhesus, not because of Schir Yoyim. There's no Marasayan, we solve the problem. How common does a rhesus have to be? So the Mishavur comes out based on his understanding of the Rosh. It has to be the majority. The majority of the cases have to be done in a way which is mutter to allow you to proceed. If half and half, it's not mutter. If the majority of the cases are done, right? So it's 40% of the people do a rhesus and 60% hire these non-Jew for this worker in this circumstance as a day worker. Usur, Mishavur comes out. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he feels disagrees with this. He says, as long as the heter scenario is fairly common, even if it's not the majority of cases, As long as the heter scenario is fairly common, why should we think people are going to be this type of individuals which come along and assume that you're doing the wrong thing? So this will solve the problem, Chashadi says. And, right? So what are you going to argue? Because it was much financially, it was much better to have the arrangement as Skaryam than to have the arrangement as Aresis. It was. A lot of this costs money. People aren't encouraging you. Right? There's a story once that one of my chaverim told me, he says that he was sick at home one time, so he took out his tefillin and he showed his daughter that he's putting on tefillin. Because why? Because he's a Rebbe. And yesterday he was teaching in a girls' class, and one of the girls says, my father doesn't wear tefillin. I never saw my father wear tefillin. She's right. She never saw her father wear tefillin. Doesn't mean his father doesn't wear tefillin. So he said, after that story, I learned next time I was home and I was sick, I pulled out this. Girls, this is tefillin. Watch me put on tefillin. They should know that I would put on tefillin, right? But why should we assume that he's doing something wrong? The scenarios have to be where the possibility of chashad are significantly much more compelling than the other way. As long as there's a good chance he's doing it in a way which is halakhically permitted, why should we be worried about that? He says, yes, there were scenarios where chazal asered, and because of chashad, means that specific instance chazal, whatever reason, shows that they're worried about the Bali Lashon Hara, as he calls it. That's what he writes, the Bali Lashon Hara, who are going to misinterpret you. That's the, and what they chose, I don't know. But we don't have to assume that that's generally the threshold that you need to create Heter. You do not need that. It says, the Mishmur brings a proof from a Rosh. He disagrees with the proof, and he holds that the proof from the Rosh is not compelling. But again, here you have, again, this difference between the criteria for chashad. He says as long as it's something which is logical, that he did it in a way which is heter, we would assume there's not a chashad over there. People probably do things in the right way. We have a right to assume that. He doesn't have to be worried about the possibility of people misinterpreting it. Marisayan, chazal have a right to choose that they're concerned about this minority of a possibility. Now, what was this case of this Gemara? Was it Marisayan or Chashad? He does not discuss this specific scenario. His tshuva, he's actually dealing with a case, the halacha is, the halacha lemaisa scenario which he's dealing with was a question, can a person marry his stepmother-in-law? His father-in-law, his mother-in-law passed away, his father-in-law remarried, then his father-in-law passed away, and he wants to marry his stepmother-in-law. Right, so some people say he's marrying his mother-in-law. It's Marisayan. He said, it's very common that people die and people have second wives. And right, says, so what's the scenario which the halacha says that you can't do it? Scenario was where the mother-in-law died very young, and then this woman raised this girl. So the outside perception is that she's the mother of the child. Right. So in that scenario, she looks like the mother-in-law. But otherwise, he says, or the case would be in the times that they were allowed to have two wives. So Reuben had two wives, Rachel and Leah, so people are not sure exactly which kid is Rachel's, which kid is Leah's, so that's confusing, etc. But the scenario, why should you worry about it? It's not necessarily common one way or the other, but it's comfortable enough to say that case is going to be mutter. Okay, one last point. So there's a Ramah. The Ramah says we're not worried about Marisayan and Nisirim Drabanan. We're not worried about Marisayan and Nisirim Drabanan. So the case of using almond milk together with chicken, you don't have to put almonds in the milk. Using almond milk together with the meat, assuming that cooking milk and meat is the rice, and milk and chicken is Drabanan. So the Ramah says you're going to cook milk and meat together, so you have to put almonds in the milk to take away the problems. And if you cook chicken and meat together, you don't need to. So the Taz and the Shach both disagree with the Ramah. They bring rise that we have Marisayan by the Rabbanan as well. You have to address it as well. But Rosh says one fascinating thing. He says when it comes to Shabbos, different than other Yisurim, even the Ramah would agree. Because by Shabbos, Chazal use a lotion of Chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos is making your Shabbos into a weekday. You're doing something which people perceive should be Asur, and you're doing it. I mean, this is something which is a weekday activity, not a Shabbos activity. There's Chilul Shabbos involved. So you're lowering the perception of Shabbos. That's a problem even by the Rabbonim. By other Isurim, he says, Ramos says, there's no problem with Marisai on how it's perceived. And by Shabbos specifically, the issue is not just what you did, it's how it's perceived. By Shabbos, you have to keep Shabbos on a pedestal. So anything which is going to lower the perception of Shabbos goes into this issue of, let's say, Marisayan, and Chazal would answer that under the umbrella of the issue of so he was dealing with his scenario. His question was using an electric blanket. You know, so the Shoel was wanting to be matter, there's no problem Marisayan, you turned it on Shabbos. He says that would not be a heter. Even you turn on an electric blanket on Shabbos, he says the rice is the rabbanon, it's part of the discussion. Said that was the rabbanon, the carton remote, it's mutter. That's what he wanted to argue. He said, no. Even according, he came out that it's mutter for other reasons possibly, but according to the Ramah, that argument according to the Ramah, if it's the Rabbanon and it's mutter, that's not correct, he says. Because by Shabbos, even the Ramah agrees that when it comes to Yisurim of Shabbos, Marisayan will play a role even by the Rabbanon. Okay. This is Rav Moshe's approach. It doesn't solve all the world's problems. You will notice that in the last pages over here, we have a piece from the Michel Zosher, pages 20 through 24 or something like that. So he starts off with this approach, idea to say there's a difference between Cheshad and Marisayan and sort of things. He falls off of that. He feels that can't be, it doesn't work. And then he raises the question of this Rashba, which says it creates a new Isser of Marisayan, and the Rashba takes away the Isser of Marisayan. Like, how do you make new Isserim? How do you take away Isserim? So if it's Surim and Dinim, so maybe we'll say Surim and Dinim. So now, if everything's all one big happy family, so we're back to square one. So he suggests that even in the Takana of Marisayan, it's only the Takana wasn't this specific action is Osir. This action is also as long as it creates a misperception. That was the Isser. That was the language of the Isser. So then, that's the language of the Isser, so the longer it doesn't have a misperception anymore, it's not going to be a problem. Vice versa, Chazal made a general approach that anything which is misperceived is going to be problematic, so therefore we can make a new Isser nowadays of this almond milk together with meat. Then he says, at the end of the day, he says, it's still very still not clear. His approach is going to leave us very confused, and yes, it does. Okay, just maybe touching on the last page and going through now that we've had, according to Mercer's approach to these issues, maybe talk about some of the scenarios which he talks about and see what we do with them. So on page 27, you have the end notes. So can a person enter the conservative reforms congregation's building to attend an Orthodox minyan, which was a common issue in the 50s and 60s? Rosh has two tshuvas, and he says that it's osur. He says even if the people know that there's an Orthodox minyan there, but the concern of Shema Yilmud Mimenu still applies. He says so the chashad issue we might solve the problem, but the concern of Shema Yilmud Mimenu is still going to apply. He doesn't say this is going to the Tekanah Rabbanan, so why does he write to say that? Not clear to me. The stepmother-in-law, we gave you that example. The change from the stalker box. So there is actually a locker that the Gaboyim on stalker can't take change because people will think they're taking the money for themselves. Is there any difference between stalker box at home or in a shul? I want to take change out of my stalker box at home. I'll take change out of the stalker box in shul. Again, if I'm the person, I'm taking out room and taking out for Shimon, that's not a problem. Right? But I'm taking it out. I mean, I always wonder about this, you know, Baruch Hashem, everybody says tzaddikim, etc., but halachically, you have to be concerned. How do you know when the guy's putting money in and taking out, he's taking out the right amount? Maybe he's putting in $5, taking out 10. You don't know. Must be tzaddik. That's true, and I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu was also tzaddik, but he also had these halachas, right? If there's somebody in charge, and he's giving for somebody else, there's two people transacting, so then we're not worried about it. But the person taking for himself is a mutter. There's a difference at home or in shul. So our answer is, if this was the Tekanas Marisayan, it's also even in the home. This is just a concern of chashad, it's mutter at home. So we have to know. Can the restaurant serve a veggie cheeseburger? What about in your own home? So the Rebelsky Zatzal, having a time of Rehershel Schechter, when he was presented with this question, he said it's mutter as long as they put on the menu that the burger that they're serving is part of, and on the receipt, as soon as, you know, you make the computer, it has to print off. It prints off. It says that you were served a part of cheeseburger. So that's going to be the way to have the hecker. What about your own home? Your own home, you can have a veggie cheeseburger. An interesting question, which I threw out to somebody over here. What about if you're vegan, and it's part of a cheese and part of a burger? There's nothing milk or nothing fleshic in this mixture. So it definitely looks like milk. I mean, I don't know what it looks like. It's from a distance, it looks like milk and inflation, right? Close up, it looks like something else totally different. But from a distance, it looks like milk and inflation. But do we ask for something which is bakalav? Can I eat? You know, I want to eat spinach together with tofu and say, "Whoa, it looks like milk and inflation," right? You know, because how far do they take this concern? I don't think the case would be osir. Okay, now getting back to your halacha, your scenario. So, a fellow wants to go into the business meeting. So, based on our criteria, according to Moshe, saying as long as it's normal, that there shouldn't be. Chazal didn't ask for that specific case. So, we don't have a Marasai issue. So, our problem is Chushah. So, according to Moshe, the threshold is as long as it's normal that what I'm doing is something which is not improper, it's mutter. So is it normal for people to go to these things and just take a drink? If the answer is yes, so that is mutter. If nobody ever goes to these meetings and just takes a drink, some people, they do other things there besides. Everybody always takes some food. So you have to figure out, is all the food which would be problematic in halacha, so that would be a problem. If the food, some of the food over there is permitted in halacha, so then it wouldn't be a problem, because again, I might take that type of food. So what's permitted in a restaurant and what type of food is permitted in the restaurant is quite complicated. There's not so much which is permitted to eat in a restaurant, a non-kosher restaurant. Even the fruits, you have to be concerned that the knives which are used have fat on them. You know, by caterers it's more common. You know, by large events they keep separate stations for everything, etc. Inside the kitchen of a restaurant, everything is, every knife is fair game to cut up that piece of melon, whether that knife is full of fat or not. That's a fact in life. That's the way it works. So can I tell you can eat melon over there? I'm not going to tell you can cut melon over there. You can ask for an apple. I'll give you an apple. How many people only order an apple at a restaurant? I don't know. Okay. The people just take a drink sometimes. That's possible. The person, I'm not hungry now, I want to just take a drink. So my assumption is that it's normal enough that people will just take a drink, so therefore it's permitted to do that. But you definitely should, if somebody asks, should you take off your yarmulke? The answer is no. You shouldn't take off your yarmulke. Right? I don't think the person should take off his yarmulke. I mean, assuming that you're wearing a yarmulke in general, you know, a person is not relying on the heter not to wear his yarmulke in business situations. A person should wear his yarmulke. You're not doing something which... Now, is there a concern that people will learn from you? This is a Maisa Shehoya. Like in America, it's very rare that this person says, must be this is a kosher restaurant, right? But vice versa, somebody told me in Eretz Yisrael, you have different types of hecherim and different types of, you know, levels of, you know. This fellow had to go to a business meeting. Of course, his partners were not religious at all, and they took him to a trefa restaurant in Tel Aviv, right? As soon as he walked in, the maitre d' says, you're not allowed to eat here. He says, I know that. He sits down, and the waitress comes and says, you know, just want you to realize, this is not a kosher restaurant. Don't think it's a kosher restaurant. It's not, you know. Three times he was approached by somebody in the restaurant to save him from doing an aveir. Now, they eat treif, but he shouldn't eat treif. They didn't want him to do an aveir. They tried to save him from the aveir. So, you know, will somebody walk, the flip side is they see, you know, this big rabbi wearing, you know, his yarmulke over there, they think it's a kosher restaurant. I don't know, maybe in Eretz, I don't know. You'd have to ask your Eretz Yisrael. But in America, I think that's the assumption. Being your own food is much more complicated. It's much more complicated. Now, can they have you serve this kosher thing, which is wrapped, etc.? Is that permitted? You can ask your local Orthodox rabbi for that. Okay, at this point in time, Rabbi Lapiansky is going to share some words of Hashkafa.